We'll open the regular. The voice of God. We'll open the regular meeting of the Groundwater Replenishment System Steering Committee for Monday, July 10th, 2023. Will you all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? Director Burns, will you please lead us?
Yes.
Thank you.
Right hand over the horn. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, small, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Director Burns. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Roll call, Director Vonka.
Here.
Director Green.
Here.
Director Gallagher.
Here.
Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Shalver.
Here.
Director Tran.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Uten. Director Nguyen. Director Andrew Nguyen. Director Sheldon. Director Burns.
Here.
Form of your committee.
Thank you. Okay. Move on to public comment. Do we have any electronic comments or written comments? Any members of the public? Okay. Thank you. We'll move on to the consent calendar. We have one item. These are the minutes of the previous meeting. Do I have a motion?
Move it.
Oh. We have a second.
Second the motion.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain?
Oh, we have to do it. Because of Roger.
Where's Roger?
I'm in Taiwan. Good morning, hey, Roger. Good evening to you all.
Yeah, he's an, we don't need to, he's an alternate.
Okay.
I mean, unless I'm misunderstanding how this board works.
No, you're okay. You're right.
Okay. Thank you. Or we'll move on to informational items, the GWRS operations update.
Mehul. I believe Mehul Patel will be giving this presentation at the committee this evening.
Thank you.
Hey, good afternoon, members of the committee. I have a brief presentation just to summarize the current operations of GWRS and summarize for what is the, for the water district, at least the end of our fiscal year. So our fiscal year goes from July 1st to June 30th. So we just finished the fiscal year, and that's typically when we try to summarize the production for the year and different things that may have affected production during the year and give an overall update. All right, so for fiscal year 22-23, which just ended June 30th, as I said, the GWRS produced just shy of 102,000 acre feet. The original planning goal for the year was 110,000 acre feet. And the reason for that was there was an assumption that based on the construction schedule that the final expansion would be done essentially in the first 6 months of the fiscal year. And the second half of the fiscal year, there would be the availability to make up to 130 MGD per day because of the final expansion. And so there was a, that was the goal in mind. After the final expansion is fully online, so the current fiscal year that just started, the normal goal would be 134,000 acre feet, which is the production goal when we're at the full 130 MGD capacity. So there's a few, obviously a few key activities that came up that limit production, and that's what we'll talk about in this and the next slide. Most importantly is the startup and commissioning of the final expansion really began in earnest in December in terms of having all of the new components put into place, including the components that were constructed at OC Sands Plant 2 site, which is our new pump station, full equalization tanks, and then fully utilizing the new slip line conveyance pipeline from Plant 2 to Plant 1. So from December 4 through December 6 was essentially the startup of that new pump station and pipeline, testing the new SCADA programming. And during that period, since it was a testing and we weren't sure how the testing would go, especially with the computer programming, all of the flow that was sent over from Plant 2 and Plant 1 and produced by the facility was sent to waste during that period. So we have the ability from GWRS to send flows directly to Sand District's ocean outfall during times like this, when we want to do some testing or when we're coming out from a long outage and we want to flush the system. So that's what we utilize for this testing period. And then from December 26th through December 28th, we had to do a series of UV validation tests. These were conditions of our new revised operating permit from the Division of Drinking Water, and that required us to test the UV at various flow rates and dosages and intensities while also injecting a chemical 1,4-dioxane to look for its removal through the system to validate the system under the new water quality, which includes for the first time the use of plant 2 flows. So that also was another long flow to waste period. And then the key thing that kind of limited production towards the end of the fiscal year that didn't allow us to fully utilize the fact that the final expansion was completed during the second half of the fiscal year was, as many of you know, we had a very heavy precipitation year from the winter of 2022 into 2023. And as a result of that, we had very limited recharge basin capacity. We did have our two dedicated basins that are there for GWS flows, what we call our La Palma Basin and Mira Loma Basin, but even those were reaching their hydraulic limits because there was so much high groundwater and all of our other basins were full of storm flow. And then we had lower than normal flows in our seawater intrusion barrier because, again, we had high groundwater levels due to all the precipitation and lower than normal pumping from the groundwater basin. So the Talbert barrier, which we call it, our hydraulic barrier for seawater intrusion, only operated at around 15 million gallons per day. And typically in its peak or when there's hotter weather or more groundwater demand, we can go as high as 25 to 30 million gallons a day, which we're just now starting to approach here at the beginning of July. We're up to 22 MGD production rate for the barrier. So that decreases the amount of flow that we have to send, and we're limited in the amount of flow we can send for recharge at 100 MGD. So we need to use the remainder down here in the seawater intrusion barrier or in our mid-basin injection wells. And then bringing in the plant 2 flow, we knew that there would be a change in water quality. So far, the organics have been, they're higher, but they haven't been an issue in terms of treating the water through our microfiltration or reverse osmosis, which would be most impacted. But we have seen the salinity increase, and we use an online measurement of salinity, electrical conductivity, which, just to give you a rough number, conductivity is 1700 prior to the introduction of the plant 2 flows. But now that we're bringing in, slowly bringing in the plant 2 flows around 20 to 25 MGD, it has increased to 2300. And the units there are microsiemens per centimeter. What this really means is the total dissolved salts in terms of milligrams per liter were normally around 1,000 milligrams per liter, and now they've increased to about 1,400 milligrams per liter, which is pretty close to what the original Black & Veatch design memo and water quality memo had said. But that was the level that was going to be reached when we were bringing in up to 40 MGD of plant 2 flow. So we're already at the increased salinity that we thought we'd be, and we still haven't fully utilized all the plant 2 flows. And I'll talk about that in a subsequent slide. But so far at these flow rates and at these salinity levels, we haven't seen any real detrimental effect to the way we operate the microfiltration and reverse osmosis system. And so the design that was implemented to combat the expected increase in salinity has been working fine to date. As we increase production and bring in more plant 2 flows, we'll see if there's any other effects that, you know, may be worse than what we're seeing now. But so far, everything's been running quite well. So some of those production changes that I want to highlight that I talked about just in the subsequent slide was that there was a period there starting in March 3rd where the total production out of GWS had to be limited to 60 MGD because our spreading basins could only take about 35 million gallons a day with all the high groundwater level and all of the other basins full of storm flows. Typically, we'd send closer to between 80 to 90 MGD just to recharge basins if we were at full production. And then we also had another production period where we had to lower the flow even more due to some more hydraulic issues up in our forebay and our recharge basins. And then slowly we were able to increase the flow as the storm flows started to die down and we drained the pool behind Prado and we freed up some more recharge capacity and there was more pumping. We were able to increase the flow. So it wasn't really until roughly early June that we're up to our highest flow rates, which we continue to be at right now, which is around between 150 and 120 million gallons per day. We still have some follow-up issues with the final expansion contractor that we're trying to work through, where we call them units, but trains is kind of an interchangeable word. Two of our five MGE units are still offline as the contractor tries to address some issues with the high-pressure feed pumps. They have some oil leaks and we don't feel comfortable running it until they address it. So we're still waiting on them to come in with the manufacturer and resolve it. We have two other older pumps from the original GWS that have issues, but those are at a machine shop and should be returned next week. And so we should be able to up the production hopefully by another 5 to 10 MGD next week and stay there for a while at around 125 MGD once we get those two motors back while we wait on Shimmick, the final expansion contractor, to address those other two that are still under a warranty issue right now. And then on the 31st, we had our annual one-day outage. These are kind of the things that we account for when we do our production goals, is we always have a 1 or 2 day outage each year to perform preventative maintenance on all our medium voltage electrical equipment that requires the plant to be offline and de-energize key loads. And then, you know, we work together with OC San. We both have maintenance issues like our medium voltage event. OC San had a maintenance event on their Steve Anderson lift station. So those things are not really a huge factor in the production overall. But the key point was the loss of the recharge basin capacity due to the high groundwater levels and high storm flows, as well as some of the issues with the contractor still having some of the equipment out of service as they address things like the pump issues. But we're getting closer to those all being resolved. And so just visually, this is the graph we always put in the agenda packet. I think this was originally Director Yeo's idea, so we continue this, I think, almost 15 years later, and it is helpful. So you can kind of see where it kind of went off the production goal there. That was when we started to really, you see there is some loss at the beginning there as well. That was through a lot of the construction issues that and outages that were required for final expansion. And then you see towards the end there all these different changes in production that were necessitated by the conditions I talked about before. But overall, still 102,000 acre feet is still quite high. And the reduction from our goal of 110,000 is mitigated a little bit by having a pretty record year of recharge up at our floor bay because of all the precipitation and the essentially four different pools we were able to store behind Prado over this current fiscal year. So with that, I can take any questions you might have.
Do you have any questions from committee members? Director Gallagher?
All right. Just a couple of questions, Mehul. On the pumps that are down, is there any retention or incentive? What's driving this contractor to respond quickly to this issue?
Yeah, so there is retention. And then Sandy kind of summarized a little our last steering committee. What we've done is we've set up a one-year agreement, essentially a warranty period, and we're holding some funds to not only address normal punch list items, but if the committee remembers, we let Shimmick borrow a lot of key equipment from our spare stock inventory, especially large valve actuators, to keep the schedule. And so part of that agreement is we need to receive all of the equipment that we loan them as new and add it back to our spare stock inventory. So they had realized that 1 year would be the right amount of time to not only address the punch list, but also get all of the outstanding equipment that they owe us that we've let them have out of our inventory. So that's kind of the driver, and we're holding money for all that purpose. So they have been responsive. They just recently, about 2 weeks ago, physically moved off our site. So that makes it a little harder, but they do have a trailer set up on the Plant One site for a project they're doing there. So we still are in touch with the project manager every day. So we're addressing it as we go. But yeah, this is one of the things that we really want to push them on, get the capacity back up again.
One other question, if I may. Okay. I do agree this graph is helpful. One thought is, though, as we're going into a new calendar year, I'm assuming that it'll be at 134,000 acre feet.
Right. We'll have a new graph for the October meeting that's got 134,000's projection and then where we are with that. Yes.
Yeah. Are there any planned shutdowns or reductions in capacity planned for this next fiscal year?
So there's always this 1 to 2 day electrical, which is, like I said, not too big of a deal. We are looking at a flow reduction probably, and it's not set in stone, but probably for a 30 to 35 day period. while OC San does some work on their primary clarifiers at Plant 2, where we know the, if you recall, the headworks is segregated, where the segregated headworks will have to be commingled during that work. So we would lose the Plant 2 flow during that period as they go through that process to finish that construction and repair process. Other than that, we don't anticipate anything other than kind of our normal PM maintenance event. So hopefully there'll be less issues. The key thing here is how will the system respond when we get into winter? So winter is the hardest time to treat the water from OC San. And this is where we really want to see if our decision to go to the new PVDF microfiltration membranes, ultrafiltration membranes, pans out like we think. We think it will, but that will allow us to get through the colder weather period where the water is harder to treat. And that's going to be the real key to see what our production is from, say, December through March. That's the toughest period. But over the summer, and don't expect any issues, and into the fall, as long as we can get some of these pumps back from the contractor and not have any other mechanical issues.
So that was going to be my only comment then, is I know in the past, being on this committee, is it looks like when you look at this line, like we didn't meet it throughout the year. It was already tracking off. And I think in reality, we know we had some shutdowns.
Right.
And they're always well explained by staff at the end, but it might help if we know they're coming up to have it actually in the
graph. Yeah, we can start adding it to the graph, the key events. Yes, yeah,
having that's a good idea.
I might add also, Director Gallagher, that when we say the 134,000 acre feet a year, that's our targeted goal. If we were able to run the facility at 130 MGD, 365 days a year, that would equate to about 145,000 acre feet. So we have about a 92% online type factor. So there is an allowance in the numbers to take into account some of these unexpected conditions that we have. And we consciously did that way back in the beginning, in the early 2000s, we decided to kind of discount the production and all the economics are based on that 134. So even if we do have some of these unexpected dips, we have a tremendous online efficiency. It's about 98%. So when you take a look at that online, but we may be a little below production sometimes, we feel that that we can actually make up for it in the long run. So hopefully that
That's helpful. Thank you.
Takes care of some of the concerns you may have.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? Director Schauber?
Thank you. If you want to go back to the first slide.
I think your mic is on.
Yikes.
Let's hit the
button. Does it
work?
Yeah. On your salinity averages, I would assume that the amount of brine that comes down the over the year, if you have a lot of rain, does it dilute it? Or does the rain increase the amount of brine that ends up down here?
Let me answer Rob. Either way, typically the rain's a good thing for us. When we get INI in the sewer collection system, it actually for us, it does change the alkalinity a little, but it tends to not only dilute salts to a certain extent, but it actually makes the water be less, have less organic content. Typically, it isn't the best thing in the world for OC San at times, but it does help a little bit. But you know, it's a transient effect. It doesn't last very long either, you know.
So I'll add a little flavor to that answer. What we do in the sanitation. We are continuing to study the salinity issue in general. It's mostly coming from the beach communities, as we've talked about with committee for some time. We've started the studies. We've looked at wet weather, high tide, low tide, dry weather, high tide, low tide. And to be quite honest, we're seeing a lot of unanticipated results. You would expect high tide to have a lot of intrusion into the piping system, but it isn't necessarily the case. Sometimes we get high salinity at low tide. So there is a wet weather tie, and it may just be in the coast sandy soil, the water's coming through, it's high salinity anyway in the sand area, and we're blowing it through and it's getting in the pipes, but we're continuing to look at it. It's mostly at this point going to be with the cities, the sanitation district, the water district, to find where these points of intrusion are coming from and fix the piping system.
Chad, I have one more. I noticed there was a truck today over near Stanton and Garden Grove, and they were measuring chlorine levels. Now, are we involved in that at all? Any of what? Because it was something like, it looked like somebody's regulating it or checking it. Are we subject to that?
Chloramines in, are you talking in the drinking?
They had a pipe that was in the water system, and they were just letting water flow out of it, and they were taking samples for chlorine. Concentration, huh?
Just chlorine, right? That chlorine.
Yeah. So I was just curious, is there something going on new about that? Because I'd never seen that before in Orange County.
It was probably the city water department, I would guess. And the cities do run a chlorine residual in their water systems just to take care of any biological fouling. So they could have been checking for the concentration of the chlorine at that point in the system.
Well, I assume, don't we have some in this in the water that we end up going to the cities? Some chlorine? No trace at all, right?
Certainly the water in the aquifer isn't chlorinated. Any chlorine would be sucked up by the organics that naturally
occur. Yeah, but we always sometimes add minerals and things back in, or elements back into the water that we put out. I was just curious.
Chlorine would be consumed by the natural organics.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Does it work? Okay. Thank you, my whole... this point about salinity in the plant P2 water is concerning to me, since you first reported it back in January. And in April, the meeting, you excluded it from the discussion. I asked for it to be included in this discussion to hear what staff has come up with for the preliminary results on your investigation as to what the extent of the problem is. Because what we have here is an exceedance of what we anticipated, and it's ramping up the cost of our production because the high salinity in the water that we get. There's got to be a way to reduce it. I was surprised by the ASCE Orange County chapter making an award to the city of Newport Beach in their efforts to put all of their utilities below ground. And what they did was basically have a bunch of shallow wells like 10, 15 feet down in order to dewater the areas where they plan on putting the electrical lines below grade. And those are parallel to where a lot of our sanitary sewer lines that we're doing the collection. So what I think they've done is by dewatering the areas around the sanitary sewer lines is that they've caused the shallow groundwater that was fresh to become salty because they're sucking up the salt water from deeper parts. And they basically have damaged the shallow groundwater that would normally drain and keep somewhat low salinity. So I think that's a challenge for us to kind of repair the damages that they did by destroying the shallow groundwater, fresh groundwater there that is causing the salinity to go up. And I expect it could go up higher as they continue their program, which they get an award for. There's got to be some ways that we could fix that, but maybe adding some shallow groundwater along the alignments to reduce the salinity. And I proposed that in the past. So if you didn't know about this dewatering, which is a major damage to the hydrology in the area, then you now know. Let's try to work with the city and figure out how we could fix this. Thank you.
I think maybe what we could do, Director Rota, to allay some of your concerns is when the city is... dewatering, using these dewatering wells, test the salinity of the water, because I don't know that it's as fresh as you purport it to be. But I think by testing, we'd be able to validate that. And we'll certainly make that suggestion to the city. And I don't think staff has ignored what we've talked about in the past, in that staff is proceeding with looking at the issue. As Rob had mentioned, the sanitation district is taking the lead and they're taking measurements. We're working with the city of Newport Beach also to try to identify the problem before we hire some consultant to figure out what, you know, what the deal is. We feel that we can do it with staff internally, and that's what we propose to do. And we propose to work with the sanitation district and the Orange County Water District and the city of Newport Beach to try to find out what is happening, because this is a situation that has been happening over time. And I think it's only now that we're recycling 100% of the water that it's become a real issue, because it is an issue. The highly saline water takes more energy to run it through the RO, higher operating costs. So we're doing everything we can to mitigate those costs. And it may not happen overnight, but rest assured that both staffs are working diligently at trying to find a solution to this problem.
And I just like that we are also working with Huntington Beach as an equal partner in this, finding some
time. Well, here I brought up this issue at our last meeting and I asked for it to be reported on for this meeting, and it wasn't reported except as an incidental thing. This is a key issue I think we have in moving forward with
this. But we will make sure that it is on every agenda from this point out.
Thank you.
As an informational item.
Right.
Whoa.
Just a report.
In discussion with the chair of the GWRS, I think.
That's fair. I think that that's
our policy or our procedure.
Yeah, okay. I don't think we put items on the agenda as a regular item in that manner.
Fine, too.
Staff is willing at the chair's discretion to add this and to report on it on a regular basis.
Yeah, why don't we do this for the next agenda item? Let's put this on as an item, an informational item, so that we can get Director Rowe's input on it and we can discuss it and then decide what to do moving forward.
For the next agenda.
Correct.
Yeah, next meeting in 3 months.
Of staff's input.
Yeah.
That's your job.
Fine.
Not hit. He does policy. I mean, let's keep our boundaries very, very firm.
We do have a request from a member of this committee to have an item put on the agenda. As chair, I'm willing to put that on the next agenda item. Would that be satisfactory, Director Rowe?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Director Schauber?
Yeah, I was under the assumption that we were going to wait to see what effect the new filtration system has on it. So why are we going to get a report until we get that study in so that we know what the effect of our new filtration system is and if it's effective in the reduction? Are we putting the cart before the horse a little bit?
I don't think so, Director Schauber, in that we do realize that it is a problem, the increased salinity. And so if we can identify where the increased salinity is coming from and come up with a proposal that would decrease the salinity to any degree, it would help the overall operating costs of the project.
No, I understand that. Let me go back to my earlier statement. Could the increase in salinity be caused by the larger amount of brine that's not being treated as it comes down?
No, I think this is a separate issue. The salinity we're talking about is entering the sanitation district's trunk lines.
Okay.
At some point, and then going into plant two.
All right.
And as a result of it getting into plant two, we're taking all of that water now, or the recyclable water, and running it through the RO plant.
The brine that comes down the other line.
And we'll have this agenda, this on the next agenda, so we can further discuss it.
Certainly.
Thank you. Move on to the next item, which is the second quarter outreach report.
I think Gene Aiello is going to give us a report on this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, she is.
The audio's turned up. Okay. Okay, good evening, Chair Vonka and members of the committee. The outreach report is contained in the packet, but I did want to take an opportunity to comment on a few highlights of the report this last quarter. So we did host the GWRS final completion dedication on April 14th, 2023. Here are some photos from the event. We had more than 14 speakers and more than 300 attendees, ranging from elected officials to water industry folks to regulators and producers. So the event, I think, was a success and enjoyed by all attendees. This is a photo of the speakers, at least from our elected officials. And we did take the opportunity as well to issue a joint press release from OCWD and OCSAN to commemorate the GWRS final expansion. We also did a recap video of the ceremony, which is posted on YouTube. And we did record the full event in its entirety, and that will be posted as well. So the event did attract a lot of media, which was great. We had both on-site coverage as well as post-event coverage of the event. That continued. So on-site, we had ABC7, OC Register, Orange Coast Magazine, LA Times, and Spectrum News. And then we had a lot of collaboration on social media as well, and then some film crews that did interviews. So we have collected a lot of great footage, and we definitely will use that. Also, something that happened in this last quarter was PBS aired the NOVA show. It was titled Weathering the Future, and the GWRS was one of the projects that was featured in this show. So we have, Mehul and I have talked with a producer who said this was a really well-received show, and it's had over 1 million-plus views. So here's a photo of some of the publications that garnered media attention. Also wanted to mention some of the awards that we received. So because the GWRS final expansion went online, staff has taken the opportunity, just as we've done in subsequent years, to apply for some awards. So some of those that we've received already include the AAEES Grand Prize for Design, ASCE Water Wastewater Treatment Project, and then the ASCE Orange County Chapter Project of the Year, the Aqua Excellence and Innovation, and then the Construction Management Association of America Project Achievement Award. Awards that we have been notified that we will receive in August. Our CASA, OCSAN, will receive the award on behalf of the OCWD and OCSAN for Capital Project of the Year. And then we did receive the CSDA Innovative Project of the Year as well, and we'll receive that in August. So we still do have a few awards that we'll continue to collaborate with OCSAN and some of our consultants, make sure that we are submitting applications for all of the recognition for those projects. Also want to note that we do continue in-person and virtual tours of the GWRS, and we continue to engage a diverse audience from the community, from the industry, and globally as well. Speakers Bureau as well continues, and here's a photo here featured of Mehul, who went to Singapore. And then also wanted to point out, as part of PBS, the NOVA show that aired, Weathering the Future, they also approached us about doing a virtual field trip. So we definitely said yes to the opportunity. They came here, we went to one of our conference room, and we actually utilized our Zoom to do a virtual field trip that reached students from across the United States. So we had more than 2,000 students that actually attended and participated, and then the recording was going to be shared as well. So that was successful outreach among that demographic. And with that, happy to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions from the committee members? Director Shaver?
That's excellent. I'm wondering if I can get a copy of the PBS show so I can put it on public cable television. I think we should reach that to all the cities in Orange County. I'd also like the virtual tour copy, because I'd like to also put that on local TV. So if you can help me out with that, Mr. Chairman, I really appreciate that. Thank you. I think all our cities and agencies could benefit. Huntington Beach has got a great cable program also. And we're at PCTA, it's Fountain Valley, and we're right here in the home. So let's get it out. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you for the presentation.
Thank Good you. Job.
Great.
All right. Do you have any announcements or reports from directors? I have one report. It wasn't a GWRS, but I was here for one of the Korean delegations. We had the mayor of Fullerton who hosted a Korean delegation, and I was able to make it with them, show them around, and they were quite interested in GWRS and all the other things that we're doing and how we work together, the two agencies. Doesn't seem like everybody else can pull it off the same way that we are able to here. General manager's report.
I have no report, Mr. Chair.
I just have one thing in case committee members haven't become aware of it, but Sandy Scott Roberts has moved on. She has left the district and is now working in the private sector for Brown and Caldwell. And I believe we'll be representing Brown and Caldwell. They have a contract with Met on their Pure Water Southern California project. So we're sad to see Sandy leave after 17 years, but we're happy for her in this this move in her career. That's all I had.
That's lucky to get her.
Well, Brown and Caldwell's lucky to get her, but Met's lucky to have her overseeing their project or helping oversee their project.
All right, thank you. Our next GWRS steering committee meeting will be October 9th, 2023. And if staff can just make sure that we have that item on the salinity, be great.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
No, somebody that's worked for us for 17 years and has done the job that she's done, shouldn't she get some kind of recognition from us, maybe a plaque or something? I mean, I think I've seen her work. I mean, to me, I don't know, just thought that'd be kind of a nice gesture. A good job done. I don't know. It's up to you guys.
I'll discuss that with the general manager.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We are adjourned.